Before both of our states voted to allow adults to use marijuana just for fun, they were among the many states that created medical marijuana programs. There's still plenty of argument about pot's scientific benefits, but many patients and healthcare providers swear by it. Those include our first guest today, who also recognizes that people in many states do not have access to marijuana legally. So Dr. Cass Ingram also boosts the benefits of other items from nature that contain some of the benefits of marijuana for things like insomnia. Dr. Ingram is a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing? Great to be talking to you.
Good to have you here. You've written a book called The Cannabis Cure. Just give us a sense of how great your faith is in marijuana to help with a lot of different medical problems.
Well, you know, there's no need to even be one of the faithful. Cannabis was used as a standard drug in the Victorian doctor's black bag in both England and the United States all the way till about 1935. How it got completely blocked so that nobody could have any access for almost 100 years to something that was standard is beyond comprehension. You know, opiates were allowed to be continued on, and even there were some codeine-based things that were over-the-counter, cough syrups and things. And then, anything marijuana, anything cannabis was prohibited. That was vastly to the loss of the human race. We don't need to prove it. There's plenty of science to do that if you want. It's been used for about 5,000 years in human history. So, I mean, what's the big deal? Now, what I did when I wrote The Cannabis Cure was I focused on using extracts, not so much smoking, although you can use the smoke as a medicine. Natives did some smoking of different things. We know that. But the problem with marijuana today is it's been reared to be addictive. So people do get addicted to various hallucinogenic type agents, and I don't want to promote that. Although if you have a medical card, I'm a fan for you. What I'm promoting is using it as a drug, you know, extracts, maybe juicing it, but using it to treat a disease. That's what we've lost.
You say marijuana is reared to be addictive? That's a curious statement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it is. You know, because of the drug, the independent drug cartel, what's been done is to raise the THC to levels that are not native in the plant, say 1,000 years ago. With a higher amount of THC, when you smoke it, that converts it to a very strong type of THC component, and that goes to the CB1 receptors. People can get addicted to anything that overloads the CB1 receptor sites.
These are the sites in the brain?
Yeah, they're in the brain, you know, and then the frontal cortex and so on. So when you have a low THC medicine, lower, then there's no risk of addiction. So if you're using an extract that has little to no THC, you can't possibly get addicted to it like you can with opiates. So it becomes a very safe medicine for pain, for inflammation, and for our subject, insomnia. You don't get addicted to it. See, that's the point.
Mm-hmm. And so let's back up to insomnia itself. I mean, it sounds like this is still a bit of a medical mystery after all these years, and it can be as different as the people who suffer from it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, there's 54%, like I think you know, are having some trouble sleeping. You can have pathological insomnia, and then you can just have insomnia. But you got to sleep, you got to rest to recover and to rebuild. It is a mystery, isn't it, that people can't sleep? But it's not so mysterious when you think about it. We're eating too much carbohydrates, too much sugar, too many desserts. That screws up the blood sugar. We're under a tremendous amount of psychic stress. We don't get the proper diurnal sunlight and then on sundown, and we're not outside. We have the Wi-Fi. We have all these, you know, we're on the computer, blue screen emitting material till 11 or 12 at night. We can't sleep. We wonder why. So actually, we do need something that's drug-like but not addictive that we can use to help knock us into sleep, knock us into REM sleep. And believe it or not, the system for that isn't the endorphin system or opiate system. It's the endocannabinoid system. We didn't know this.
Endocannabinoid system. Explain, please.
Well, the endocannabinoid system is a system of receptors, CB1, CB2, that receive cannabinoids. That cannabinoid could be THC, it could be cannabidiol, it could be terpenes. But what I discovered when I was writing the book is that, and because I was experimenting with with cannabis extracts, right? and I started sleeping better. So what I discovered is if you feed the cannabinoid system, the endocannabinoids, because you make your own cannabinoids. That's why it's endo. Endocannabinoid means you make your own cannabinoids in your brain that feed that system. But if you pump up the levels, you sleep better. And the odd thing is, it's not just cannabis. Anything with a cannabinoid makes you sleep better. It puts you into REM sleep. That's the shocking thing about this.
So let's talk about that. We're talking to Dr. Cass Ingram here on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine. He wrote The Cannabis Cure and a bunch of other books, including herbal remedies that have things that are that have benefits like marijuana but are not marijuana. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So I mean, there are other substances then that contain, and is it THC or CBD or something else in there?
Here's the fun part. THC is pretty much exclusive to marijuana. It's not exclusive to industrial hemp. So we can do safety for the general public. Now, I know there are a lot of people that are smokers that are listening and all that, but for the general public, for kids, for teens, for Mrs. Smith, and for a 75-year-old person, we can talk low to no THC endocannabinoid feeding. Does cinnamon have THC? No, but it's rich in cannabinoids. Would you ever have cinnamon toast or a cinnamon roll without the cinnamon or a cappuccino? Not really. And you don't use a lot, but yet it's a sleep aid because it's feeding that system. That's the only reason.
So are there other cannabinoids besides THC and CBD?
Yes. There's around 85 of them.
Wow.
And then there's the terpenes. The terpenes are cannabinoids. The same thing, just a little different molecule. A lot of people make it out like only pot, only marijuana, nothing else. No. Now, it's unique. Cannabis is very unique because it has the most cannabinoids. And it has cannabidiol, CBD. But it's not different. For example, if you squeeze a lime or a lemon, you're getting cannabinoid in the form of terpenes. They go to the CB2 receptors, the ones that don't allow addiction or munchies or whatever, right? And so who's going to have lemonade without lemon? Don't we love lemonade? Because it makes us feel good. Why does it make us feel good? Would you ever have pesto sauce without basil? Because basil's cannabinoid. Would you ever make a pizza without oregano? Because oregano's cannabinoid. You don't use a lot. It makes you feel good. You love the smell. You like the smell of a carnation? Cannabinoid.
All right, so here's where to put some caution on this. I mean, I want to make sure we're not encouraging people who might be moving to states where there is no legal marijuana of any kind to not like go and stock up on basil or something. I mean, they're not going to get a high from basil or hops or cinnamon or any of these other things.
No, that's my point. I'm not going to tell on the radio something that's going to be dangerous. So I'm going to, you know, my whole thing is, if you've got insomnia, if you've got a nervousness, a nervous agitation, you don't need to smoke pot. You don't need to move to Colorado. You can do it with all the herbal cannabinoids. You can get it done better without all the other consequences and the social stigma. We don't have any stigma for alcoholics, but we have... I know the situation. But I'm not going to smoke pot. You know, I want the extract. That's just me. Fortunately, a company was wise enough to, in addition to the fact you could take your chamomile, you can take your cinnamon, you can take your extra oregano in the diet, to make this hempanol PM. I'll be honest with you, I'm lazy. I use that. Sure, I'm increasing my cinnamon intake and basil and so on. But I just use hempanol PM is hops, cinnamon, clove, cinnamon, and also the cannabis with the wild oregano, and I use it at night, and it knocks me into REM sleep. I'm a 50-year insomniac. How do you think I wrote all those books?
Well, that was the next question, is whether you've had experience with insomnia yourself, and you have from the sounds of it.
Oh, yeah, since I was a teen. Nobody could figure it out. People would read scripture over me. People would try to pray over me, and I don't know. It was ever since 15.
And how many different kinds of ways were you treated medically, beyond scripture over you and things like
that? I'm an osteopath, so I'm inclined away from drugs. They didn't work. So I tried every herbal tonic and little teeny benefit. This stuff knocks me into REM sleep. If I feed the endocannabinoid system, I sleep. for some reason, I have a high need for that. Now, I tell you what I found over the years. Here's another trick for the insomniacs. Salt at night. Not that kind of salt, sea salt. A salty snack at bedtime, along with a nice cannabinoid-rich supplement, will knock you into REM sleep every time virtually. Now, I have a real problem. I'm not sure how I'm going to write any more books now that I'm sleeping for once.
I was about to ask if you were that productive when you were an insomniac with it. You've lost a bit of an edge since that time.
I lost my edge. So, actually, there's nothing like REM sleep because you're rested and you don't need as many hours. So here's what I found. I mean, I like to have these little cheating ways. I found that if I use the Hempanol PM and have my salty snack at night, I only sleep about 5 hours, 5.5, and I'm wide awake and ready to go. If I don't, I need that 7 hours because of the tossing and turning and the lack of deep sleep. So maybe these people in antiquity that slept that short time from sunrise to sun up and always woke up with the sun, maybe they had a lot of cannabinoid in their system. Not that they were smoking pot, but they were eating these native foods and they were using a lot of turmeric and basil and, herbs and flowers. Did you watch the deer eat and browse? The deer eats a lot of flowers. Flowers are very high in cannabinoids.
Our guest is Dr. Cass Ingram, a doctor of osteopathic medicine, has written a bunch of books, including The Cannabis Cure, but he's also written about herbal cures, and we're talking about herbal cures for insomnia and learning a lot about cannabinoids here. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hi, I may be off topic, but thank you, doctor, for what you're doing. I'm more interested in specific inflammation and systemic inflammation and controlling it through cannabinoids. In my misspent youth, I destroyed pretty much every joint below my hips.
Oh.
And having a great time doing it. But the bottom line is I definitely need something now, and I really don't like taking over-the-counter painkillers.
Okay,
I'll take
good
my
for you.
Out the air.
Good for you. The over-the-counters have consequences on the kidneys and the liver, as you know. Yes, the cannabinoids are really good for pain. But when you add the wild oregano, they become very aggressive. So when you look at the Hempanol, for example, it's called Hempanol Super Strength in particular. I had a person with severe chronic pain in 48 hours improved dramatically that she went around telling all kinds of people that I took this stuff and I have a big reduction in pain. I would seriously look at that crude, raw, unprocessed cannabinoid extract, high in terpenes. The reason you're not going to get so many results from the typical CBD is the terpenes are mucked up because they're using alcohol and other solvents. But when you take the raw, crude extract, it's very aggressive. So that would help. And then adding that with turmeric. Now, the most aggressive turmeric on the market is coming out in short order. It's called Turmeric Plus. That one is extremely powerful. I would wait to get that or, use up whatever turmeric you have, but add the turmeric with the cannabis extract and then get back to me and let me know how you're doing. One more thing you could do, fresh ginger. Fresh ginger sliced in hot water with some lemon is going to help. It has so many anti-inflammatories. Yeah.
You've written a whole book about turmeric itself, haven't you?
Yes, I just published The Wild Turmeric Cure.
So let's come back to insomnia, because that was the original focus here. Did you use melatonin? I mean, is that something that you recommend?
I did, but I never got the good results.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think I've stumbled onto something, that it's not so much the pineal at large. It's this endocannabinoid receptor that influences the pineal, influences the pituitary, influences the adrenals, influences inflammation, influences the balance. See, the thing is, there's an orchestra in the brain. It's missing the conductor. The conductor is the cannabinoids. They induce a symphonic balance in the brain so that you feel better. No wonder people smoke pot. You see, they're getting something out of it, though temporary. They have to smoke again. But with the extract, you're getting a concentrated amount, so you're taking 10 tons of, in this case, organically raised cannabis. You're extracting the active ingredient. You get a tiny percentage, and you get the benefit of that concentrate. And so you get, you know, everything's better. I mean, I'm more productive, actually. I'm writing books. I'm writing a 1,000-page book on herbal medicine and four other books simultaneously. I attribute it to this stuff.
How long was herbal medicine out? I mean, for some civilizations.
Forever.
I mean, what I mean is, how long was it out of favor? It seems like Western medicine, from about the middle of the 19th century on, wandered completely away from that and went to chemistry.
Well, that was because of the oil cartel.
Huh?
Yeah, yes. Rockefeller and his group of goons destroyed the homeopathy. They tried to wipe out osteopathy. They wiped out herbal medicine. We had schools in this country at the turn of the century. They killed it all in favor of their drug monopoly. So we think it's hokey. It was never hokey in Victorian times. Of course it wasn't hokey. It was what they had. But big medicine came in with their arsenic, their mercury, their opiates, then, of course, the synthetic drugs, and they wiped everybody else out. And they still maintain control. If you try to treat your kid with herbs for cancer, you could be imprisoned. How could that be? How can you imprison a parent? So they create that fear.
Dr. Cass Ingram's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about insomnia remedies that contain some of the stuff in marijuana. Dr. Ingram's a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine. So let's get into the list. We've talked about a few of the items in here. I haven't gotten to hops yet. This is the same stuff used to make beer.
Hops are big.
Mm-hmm.
Hops, the history of hops. Nobody put hops in beer in medieval times, but because the monks were getting a little too monkey, you know, the homosexuality was rife, and so the priest ordained that they would put hops in beer instead of burdock and dandelion. Okay, the reason is hops is somewhat estrogenic. Now, hops happen to be a sedative, and that's what they were known so famously for in medieval times. So when you take hops, and I'm not saying drinking 24 beers will do it because there's a lot of carbs in beer, right? Mm-hmm. Alcohol too. So, but if you take hops at night, you will sleep better.
Take it in a capsule form or something?
Well, it's very bitter. You'd have to. So this hempenol PM, its lead ingredient is hops. The second ingredient is cannabis. The third is wild oregano. Now, why would you add the wild oregano? The cinnamon is obvious why you would add that. Chamomile is in there, obviously. But wild oregano was used for nervous irritation in antiquity. It was a lead treatment for epilepsy by the ancient Greeks, for seizures even. Wild oregano has very high amount of cannabinoid. And the cannabinoid in there is also anti-inflammatory. So I think this was very smart, not to do just CBD oil, but for the hempenol to have wild oregano with organic cannabis.
Okay, so hops we just talked about. We've talked about basil just a little bit. I mean,
basil has been used in Ayurvedic medicine as a sedative, as an anti-insomnia, and as an anti-migraine and anti-nervous and anti-anxiety. Holy basil.
In food, as a supplement, all the above?
In food and as a supplement, as an extract, as a tincture. It's famous in Ayurvedic medicine for the nerves. But it's high in cannabinoid. And so this is a big discovery. Our friend with the serious pain, he's going to benefit every time when taking cannabinoid because it regulates the system that controls pain and inflammation.
It regulates
the nerves.
You know, we've got the ongoing issue with and the concern about what's going to happen in the states that do have legal marijuana in
some
form.
It's not good. It's not good to just add another addictive, reared to be addictive substance. Alcohol is more dangerous, and so is tobacco. But less dangerous isn't. If you don't think it's dangerous, that's the danger. If everybody thinks, okay, pot's fine, and you start seeing 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds, pot's legal, let's do it, you know, that's a developing brain still. It's not a good idea.
Well, the question was going to be whether there have ever been concerns where there have been some clamps on some of these herbal remedies within any states or federally.
Well, that's not going to be a consequence of legalizing pot, but it's a consequence already because of Codex.
Mm-hmm. Codex?
Yeah, Codex Alimentarius, which is fully implanted into Europe, to some degree in Canada, where the drug companies are trying to crush the herbal medicine people by overregulation, by standardization, by owning the rights through patent to the herbs and the herbal extracts. They're continuously attempting to take control of the herbal medicine monstrosity that's got out of control. I mean, out of control from their hands, by the way.
Okay, so we've mentioned hops, basil, oregano, we got to a bit, cinnamon, we got a chamomile. Is that part
chamomile,
of the
chamomile, everybody knows that chamomile is a sedative. It's very relaxing, so it's no surprise that if you extract it, it's going to help you sleep. But chamomile tea does that, too. You know, usually I take two or three bags and soak it in the hot water to get enough of a hit from your standard tea. But that, again, remember what I said about the deer resting so nice at night, they need to be so silent and quiet. But they're always, everywhere you go, you see them eating everybody's flower beds or the leaves of the flowers. But they're getting all these cannabinoids in their brain.
So cannabinoids must be present in a lot of stuff out there.
It is. Broccoli has it.
Broccoli, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so all kinds of stuff to go to look for cannabinoids.
But get your cannabinoid hit any way you can, right?
Right, all kinds of stuff. All right, Dr. Cass Engerman is the author of The Cannabis Cure. We've been talking about insomnia remedies and other herbal benefits of items that contain cannabinoids that are not marijuana. He's a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Experience.
Yeah, AmericanWildFoods.com might be a way to view some things. AmericanWildFoods.com.
Okay, thanks again. Take it easy.